Psalms. Yep. Yep. Psalms. Psalms 47. I want to thank Brother Richard up there in the choir loft, in the balcony. He's one of the individuals in the house of the Lord that gets the most looks. You know, he just gets the most looks, and so I noticed that he just basically stares at the wall, just so he don't have to fool with none of me. But there ain't nothing in the world. I've already had one voice surgery. There ain't nothing in the world that'll ruin the voice of a speaker and a preacher than somebody that strains to hear himself. So he keeps these monitors turned up real good, and I reckon he keeps these other ones turned up pretty good. Most of you have stayed awake every night. And I just appreciate him up there. He knew last night when to turn the tape back on. He knew I wouldn't tell him when to turn the tape back on. He knew when to turn it back on. He's just psychic, is what it is. But I really appreciate him up there and taking care of all this stuff. And amen. Huh? Huh? Go with me next week. Use you again. Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of victory. Shout unto God with a voice of overcomers. I'm still in pursuit of victory tonight. I don't exactly know, Brother Richard, what you're going to want to put down there for that. But this is still the pursuit of victory. Last night we pursued victory right through emotions and distractions and depressions and oppressions and all of the things that is thrown against us. But tonight I really wish that we could end up with a Pentecostal rally in this service. They have political rallies. They have pep rallies. They have I just wish we could end up with a Pentecostal rally, with a holiness emphasis on doing right and being right and having the victory. Because I tell you, nobody that's ever walked away from holiness has maintained the victory. You have to lose it to leave it. And really, there's no victory to be had in this world until you maintain a certain level of God's holiness and God's graciousness. I want to tell you, it's really an amazing thing, but it's been in the news. I read it in several different periodicals, and I know that I'm on track tonight. The guy's name is Martin Luther. I mean, I know at this very moment that he is spinning in his grave. I know he is. Because I've been reading here lately where that great Protestant movement that he was an instigator of has sat back and decided that maybe some of the rules and some of the laws of Romanism isn't so bad. And so here of late, the Lutherans have signed a pact with the Catholic Church that they will agree to observe each other's communion. And they've also signed a pact where some of the fundamental issues that have always separated them will separate them no longer. Now, I'm telling you, Martin Luther, that Protestant, is reeling and rocking in his grave. Because, brother, sister, when that man was willing to put life and limb on the line to come out and be ye separate, to allow the very God of heaven to touch his life and not just works on the outside, I'm telling you, there's no place in this world for Pentecostal people with a holiness influence to ever, ever, ever lose that Protestant feeling that ought to be inside of every one of us. Now listen to me close. I'm going to tell you something. We have something on the horizon that absolutely distresses me to the point that it that it alarms me, worries me. We've got a falling away, not just in the Bible sense, but we've got a falling away in our churches of good old-fashioned, sanctified living, where we can come into the house of the holy, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, come before Him with clean hands, and enjoy a victorious, old-fashioned move of the power and the grace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I recognize something years ago, raised around holiness, raised around Pentecost, raised around old campgrounds, drug from pillar to post, drug from southern Illinois, all the way to Richlands, Virginia, riding in the back seat with Brother Vernon McClellan, never, ever, ever dreaming that when I ever got out of high school and got out of college and started down there, never dreaming that I'd be making the same trip with me and my wife, preaching that very camp meeting that I was just visiting. But I'm going to tell you, from that time even to this, victory hasn't changed. Deliverance hasn't changed. From that time to right now, the glow and the glory of God hasn't changed. If you recognize a difference in your church from those early days of Pentecost that had such a force about it, and if your testimony leans more to what we used to see and used to have and used to feel, that's not fair to my generation or the next generation that's coming. But I'm going to tell you, give you something right now in this pursuit of victory. A good old-fashioned spirit that rises up and says, I am not going to lose the Protestant that was born and bred in my heart when I fell in that old-fashioned altar. Brother, sister, I think we are losing the ability to protest. Now listen close. A person who examines the evidence of religion for himself and accepts it or rejects it because he is satisfied or not satisfied, that's one of the definitions of a Protestant, of a Protestant. But some of these other little illustrations that I wrote down are just different great men's opinion. Listen close. One man said, opposition in the name of individual's responsibility to God. That's what a Protestant really is. Another man said, it's a continuous breaking of the world's system until God can be magnified and God can be glorified. Listen close. A man said of Martin Luther, the man's name was Thomas Carlyle, he said of Martin Luther, his words are battles. We want to come into our churches passively. We want a passive little man standing behind a passive little pulpit who doesn't ruffle anybody's passive little feathers. We want it to be where everybody in the house of God is happy and every man can lean to his own understanding, because we're looking at a church age now where every man's ways are right in his own eyes. But I'm telling you, some folks need to get a new pair of glasses. Somebody needs to have their eyes examined. Somebody needs to recognize that when we come into the house of God, hey, another man said a Protestant is a solitary man who tries to shake the world out of its slumber. But the greatest one that I heard, can y'all see this okay? This is a burlap bag, and there is a cat in there. Yeah, really. Turn this one up, Richard, over there, pretty loud. Don't leave yet. Got it? The best one is, a Protestant is someone who, when he smells a rat, he lets the cat out of the bag. Thank you. Now, I know if you couldn't hear that, that's all right. You can hear it after a while. But I'm going to tell you something. A real Protestant that knows something ain't right wants to come out and make it right, especially if God's victory is in the balance, especially if the power of God is in the balance. A real Protestant is somebody who absolutely, positively refuses. Listen. Are you listening? Religion, the new houses of God. The new psychology is to bring people inside the pop culture. Think coffee bars. Think skate parks. Think surround sound audio systems. Think movie theaters that holds people's interests of a generation that's fascinated with high-tech gadgetry. The result? We have religious centers, some open all week, that resemble sports complexes or shopping centers more than a traditional church. Many congregations are looking for a Disney-style experience, says a Fort Worth builder. He says in his lobbies, they cater to freestyling clubs and teens that have their own little super add-on rooms where they can enjoy big screen TV and tune to any channel that they want while they're having a traditional, per se, service over in the auditorium. I protest. You hear me? I protest. I ain't going to sit by passively and say, that's just what this world's coming to. No, what this world is coming to is a fiery end where it's plunged into the judgments of God. The church isn't coming to some kind of theater. The church is coming to a spotless place in the history of this world where she has presented herself as a chaste virgin, holy and acceptable unto God. And I protest this encroachment. I ain't done yet. Let me read to you something. This West Plains, right here. New Life, something. Right here, West Plains. Saturday Night Life. Casual. Contemporary. Relevant. Come and see the live band. Come and see all of the wonderful refreshments. Plenty of activities for children. World-class athletes spend time training. Come and let's train for a religious lifestyle in God. Fully. Baloney. That's Greek for fully. Listen, I ain't done yet. Oh, no, I ain't done yet. You're done? I ain't done. Cornerstone Church, Springfield, Missouri. Cornerstone Church will celebrate its 25th anniversary with a free rodeo at 2 p.m. Sunday. There will be calf roping. Barrel racing. Trick riding, bulldogging, covered wagon rides, and even an Old West movie after dark. For the kids, that was for the adults. Is there anybody in this room that's mad yet? Good. Good. I want you to get in my amen corner because I'm mad as a hornet. Listen, listen. For the kids, there's going to be pony rides and a hay maze and carnival rides and inflatables and a petting zoo and trout fishing. Rodeo activities will take place, and it gives the address on there. I protest. I protest. Now, Brother Hyde, now what? somebody jump up, run out on the road, and check the name of this campground. Somebody in this house lean back and flip the pages of history and remember the very foundation that this place was built upon. And the churches that contributed to the effort and the sacrifice to give us a place where we could come and enjoy the victory. I'm telling you, we're in a God-robbing world that's taken the victory right out of the house of the Lord. Oh, listen. A church to rock with. I don't think that's what it means. A church to rock with. Springfield, Missouri. Listen close. The one step inside of New Life Church, and it's obvious that this place is different. Just one step inside there, you recognize that it's different. I just want to run over to that door. I ain't going to. And kick it open. And holler, "We are too." And one step inside here ought to prove it. One step inside here ought to prove it. One step inside this place. And it's obvious that the place is different. From the bagels and the coffee bar to the rock band. Nobody has ever seen such a church. The pastor of this church, I'm not using his name. I don't want to give him any credit whatsoever. For the past 5 years, knows that the black walled auditorium, the concert lighting, the rock band, and the laid back atmosphere can produce some real church-going Christians, but it sure puts a bunch of people off. Yep. I must admit, I'm about as off as you could put.
That doesn't sound exactly right,
but I'm about as off as you can get right now. Listen, some of the rest of you off people, this Christian atmosphere is designed to reach the unchurched, the irreligious, and the unsaved. The son of a very strict, legalistic Assemblies of God pastor, this new hoodwink, refused to follow in his father's footsteps. His wife was the first person to question some of those uncompromising positions. She asked those hard questions, he said. Every time I turn around, I just hear now. Well, what's wrong with? Well, how come? Well, how come we can't? Well, how come? Well, how? The first step in losing the victory in the house of the holy is to come in with more questions than you do praise. Pray, sweetheart. Listen to me close. I ain't done yet. So, started in the 80s. As a contemporary church, the church moved further and further from the traditional cutting edge. Oh, yeah. Once people are away from their cars, it's hard to tell the well-heeled from the disadvantaged. Well-worn jeans, shorts, sneakers, sandals, everywhere. People sitting around tables, inside, outside, drinking coffee, having bagels, eating donuts. That was brought to the church by a local coffee shop. As they look down the program, deciding whether they want to participate in the worship or not. You ain't listening. Sounds of rock guitars blast out the auditorium as people grab a last-minute refill before going inside for service. If you're early enough, you can get one of the tables No pews, no chairs. It's like a cafe. You can get one of the tables along one of the black walls of the walrus room, or some kind of animal, or a spot on one of the couches up front. Woo! I can see you're so excited. You're just about to fall out of your padded pew. The band is rocking out on stage. The band is rocking out on stage. And the people are finding their seat. And when the service begins, the music tones down a bit. And contemporary praise songs. And the audience is invited to sing along. The words are on two great big screens. But anyone who listens to the latest Christian rock already knows the words. I am getting too mad to preach a camp meeting in a mixed congregation of individuals. I'm telling you, there's something that ought to rise up inside of blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled holiness people to think that some of this kind of rot is starting to take over our church world. And the sad, sorry fact of the matter is, there's some people sitting in our churches that really doesn't see anything wrong with it. And I can tell you why they don't see anything wrong with it. They've already started letting up themselves. The worship is gone, and the glory is gone, and God's not magnified. But you see, this thing begins to holler. And listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. We are in a last-ditch, all-out war to have victory in our churches. I mean, you cannot vote yourself into a great revival or a move of God. You can't just come into the house of God and will it, or think it's just going to come out of a bottle of oil that's so stale that you wouldn't even want to fry Lindsay Savage potatoes in it. I'm telling you, we've gone past that now. We've got into an age that when you come into the tabernacle, you're going to have to fight to get through the powers of hell. Fight to get through the powers of worldliness. Fight to get through compromise. Fight to get into victory. Pray, honey. I mean, I know what war looks like. It's horrible. It's disastrous. It causes casualties. There's a lot of people fall by the wayside. But the Church of the Living God, is it going to be able to please everybody? The Church of the Living God isn't going to be able to pat everybody on the head and find them a little place in the house of God where they're comfortable. Sin ain't comfortable in a victory tabernacle. Sin ain't happy in the house of the redeemed. Compromise ain't happy where God's victory is. So this Bible says, we are to war. This Bible says that we are to war a good warfare. This Bible says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold! Come into the house! What does the Bible say? The violent, take it by force. We can ease our way into our solemn assemblies and turn our meetings into a visitation where we walk by the casket and look at all the great meetings we used to have. Where we can come into our churches with the power of God in our mind and the praise in our heart and raise the dead. Listen. Listen. Pray, honey. In this world, there's as many spirits that is against you getting the victory in this tabernacle as there are that's for you getting the victory in this tabernacle. There's a tug of war going right on now with this service. I don't know if anybody in this room can tell it. Every preacher on the platform can. That I'm a battling. I'm a battling those very forces. There's something in hell's mind that says, I don't want to take my hand off this service. There's something in heaven's mind that says, I'd love for the saints of God to pray the hand of hell off of the service where the glory of God could fall down in that tabernacle. Let me tell you in the tug of war, who's going to win? The side that you start pulling for. You want your daughter to grow up to look like Jezebel's half-sister once removed, then you start fighting against victory in the tabernacle of the Lord. You want your marriage to be about as happy as a roadkill out here in the middle of the road, then you start finding something critical about holiness people. Listen, I've been around them. I know. Hey, I'm the guy that come on the scene back in them years where they really, really, really did preach against neckties.
Yeah.
What'd you do? I just stayed with what was right. I just stayed with what I knew was right. Determined that I found a group of people who, although some characteristics might make some folks cringe, I watch people healed, people delivered, people glorified, churches resurrected, and people encouraged. And I decided that that's the bunch of folks that I'm going to start fighting with instead of fighting against. Now you listen to me close. Listen, when any of you young people in this tabernacle sign an agreement with the world, and compromise is a word that doesn't trouble you anymore, you write it down that I said so on the last night of camp meeting 2005. Every service from here on out is going to have just that much less victory for your life, for your glory, for your shout, for the touch of God and the power of God. We'll compromise until we'd rather sit by some boy or some girl that come out of there and have the victory of God. We'll compromise until we'll sit in a pew glued, entertained by the preaching, forgetting that we ought to entertain victory. And I'm telling you, it's costing our services. Brother David Brock, Brother Cheek, Brother Grace, amazing grace, Brother Grace, Brother Bruce, Brother Dalton, all you guys inside this church, every one of us, I'm telling you, we walk into our church services, take a text in the pulpit, and we're graded on a scale of 1 to 10. Whether people thought our context was full, if we had enough material in the middle of it, we grade the preaching on a scale of 1 to 10, like we do the singing. We're not interested in the words and the worship. We want to know if they change keys. We want to know if they hit every word just right. We're taking preaching, and our churches are walking out the door saying, boy, he didn't have it tonight. I'm telling everybody in this house right now that's sitting in this tabernacle that says, I ain't got it. I got it. Well, I tell you, I'm not connecting with it.
Woohoo!
I need to give you the address of a few churches back here. They might be exactly what you're looking for. But I'm telling you, I don't think falling in the same ditch trying to get somebody out of it is the way that God intended for the sanctified holiness people to act. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will restore unto you. So we've got enemies. Yes, we do. David Brock is not my enemy.
Not my enemy.
Still beat me with it. Still would. With that one. That one is sharp.
This one ain't.
But I'm going to tell you something. Be real careful. Don't cut yourself.
No, just give it back to me. I don't want
to... Listen. I'm telling you. They ain't my enemy. These churches aren't each other's enemy. These fellowshipping folks that drive 8 and 10 and 12 hours to get here, they're not the enemy. The devil is the one that doesn't want us to come out with our heads up shouting, glory be to God. Are you listening to me? And because he is, we have advances coming in our direction that you've got to be aware of. It's a silly congregation that can sit by and allow a serpent to crawl down the aisle and have a bunch of babies and take over the pew, and you didn't see it coming. We've got to be open to the advances. They're moving televisions in the churches. They're moving radio out the door, and they're putting technology inside. They're taking revival out and having rodeo. You gotta get your eyes open. Now, Brother Height, tell me about some of them churches in that one article. You mean the one in Saddlebrook? You mean the other one down in Fort Worth? You mean the other one down in Houston? You mean the ones that are buying out the stadiums and turning them into $30,000 or 30,000 people seating capacity? Yeah, Brother Height. Tell us about all these successful people. Would somebody please get me something to throw up in? I'm telling you, success is not coming out the church door looking like you just come off a fairground. Success is not coming to the house of God and being entertained by a popsicle. Success is when the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way. Get ready to start the truck. Listen. I'll tell you something. The world is against you. And anybody in this tabernacle that thinks you can enjoy its pleasures and come down that aisle and have the victory around these altars, you are sadly mistaken, Bubba. Any of these young lives that think they can participate in some of the ungodly dressed activities that the school systems promote and still come in the house of God and have the victory, and I'll tell you what you'll have. Unwanted pregnancies. Young people that ought to be in the altar instead of in the dark. Teenagers that ought to be running the aisles instead of running the roads. Hey! I'm telling you something. This world's pleasures are against us. And this world's entertainments are against us. There's very few men in this room and women in our Pentecostal churches that would allow a van to pull up out front and a bunch of ladies of ill repute climb off of it, walk up to the door of your house, knock on it, and come inside and babysit your children. Very few of us. Very few Pentecostal holiness type homes would allow the Budweiser van to pull up out front, come and knock on the door, and babysit your children the rest of the day. But we have allowed the very monster of technology to sit inside of our homes and parade prostitution and alcohol and illicit sex until, brother, sister, we lose the victory. Brother Hyde, you sure picked the last night to hit it. I didn't get to preach Wednesday night. Whoa! Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we come into the house of the Lord. We allow the riches of the world to so over-envelop us that you can't come to church regular.
You can't take off the Gomer Revival. You haven't got time to have a move of God. You can't pray and seek the Lord. I protest.
Rock the truth of God's word that says if you come clapping your hands and shouting unto God and you can have a voice of triumph, I'm not going to allow popular opinion to take the victory of God. Listen, we have decorated our bodies until there's such a flash in the house of God, we can't see the Shekinah when it tries to come down into our midst. We have decorated our lives and our spirits. I mean, until teenagers cry themselves to sleep. Wives watch their husband load up in the car and drive off because he's found some other toot thing that's supposed to be Pentecostal in somebody else's house of God reject. But brother, sister, it's too crucial an hour for us to come to the house of God and have anything less than the victory. There was this altar was full last night of men and women that needed help over depression and oppression. And tonight, we need the victory over the world. When you smell a rat, would somebody please let the cat out of the bag? Listen to me close. Listen to me close. My God, I am not the epitome of a perfect pastor. If you could have pulled Jason and Missy, Christy off to the side, now don't pull them off to the side tonight, but they were either shouting or running in this camp meeting. Wait till they get done with their shout. But if you could have pulled them off to the side and asked them about my pastoring abilities, they would tell you in no uncertain terms, they love Sister Hyde. I mean, there's just something. If I'm gone, not at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, and she's at home, everything is still all right. I mean, it's 9 out of 10 times the phone will ring. Hello? Brother Hyde? Yeah. Is Sister Hyde at home? Yeah, she is. And she'll come down that stair after being up in her office on the telephone, walk down through that room and say, I say, honey, who was that? Well, you know who it was. Well, what was it? Oh, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. She's not doing that because she wants to be hard to get along with, run the household, and think she's chief cook and bottle washer. She is chief cook and bottle washer. She's doing it because she doesn't want to affect me the next night when I walk into the house of God. She doesn't want anything to dull my blade. She doesn't want anything to get me off course. She knows that 100% of the time, God has dropped into my heart the very answer to the church's cancer. And I'll be preaching on it in a few weeks. Are you listening? God knows what He's doing. His church is not going to go bankrupt. Whoa! I'm telling you, Bubba, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Ain't nothing like a... You disagree? Let me sing the second verse. In this world, is it the first verse? I've tried most everything, and I'm happy. Now let's say, there ain't nothing like... Well, I'll just tell you one thing. I don't know if Brother Hyatt's got a good spirit tonight. If anybody's got one of them little cameras that takes pictures, take one right now. Because you are looking at a protesting preacher that's standing behind the pulpit that's sick and tired of watching hell tear up your home, cause trouble in the ministry, tear down the unity in the church, divide the saints of God. You're looking at a guy behind the pulpit that's sick and tired of watching the devil make us sick and tired. When there's a verse that says we can come into the house of the Lord clapping our hands and shouting with victory. Listen, I know they got to clean up tonight. So have I. The human heart's the trouble. That's the trouble. That's the trouble. Your sleeves will do what your heart tells you. Your eyes will look at what your heart tells you. Your worship will do what your heart tells you. It's the heart that's the issue. Oh yeah, it is. Break out the tissue. I'm telling you the issue. It's the heart. In fact, I've noticed a few places that out of the abundance of the heart, it's the mouth that speaketh. And so in some of our holiness ranks, some of our holiness churches, it ain't the preaching at all. It's not the standard at all. It's not the work and worship of God at all. Let me tell you how I know. Because when your baby gets sick, you still call us. When there's a death in the family, you still call us. There's something in the heart of mankind that's still... Hey, when you go liberal, you still don't want a pastor that is. There's something in the heart of mankind that really knows this is right. And if you know it's right, fight to have the victory. You, dear ladies, are not complimenting your looks by compromising your looks. You're not complimenting. Some of the people who have left the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle and went worldly are hideous when you meet them out on the street. Did he really say that? Back that tape up, son, see if I really said that. There's some people, when they walk out of holiness, they go from the higher blessings of God to a hideousness about themselves. Because I'm telling you, the hardest thing in the world to do is for folks that used to have it to fit in right off the bat. I mean, they goop up and pick the guys. Woo! I'm telling you. Hey, pray, sweetheart. I wish Brother Savage was here. At this particular moment, he would say, I'm feeling better now. But he ain't, and I am. And I ain't feeling better now. But I'm still telling you the facts. If we're going to have the victory of God, we're going to have to come through the door looking like we want it. And looking like we believe it's right. Hey, I'm telling you, in this house of God, we've got a captain that his qualifications is above anything and everything set by Hollywood and New York and the fashion industry. I'll take Jesus. I did not say.
Do I look hot? It's because I'm fighting demons.
I did not say that protesting was going to be easy.
No.
No, I didn't say it's going to be easy. In fact, they were sawn asunder, slain with the sword. They were beheaded, fed to the wild beast, in prison, tormented, tempted, protesters of whom this world was not worthy. It's the way the Bible described it. I didn't tell you it's going to be an absolute walk in the park to be a holiness child of God. I didn't tell you it's going to be easy. I just told you it was going to have the victory. It's going to have the glory. It's going to have the reward. Do not compromise. Continue going to the holiness church that you go to and expect the pulpit to use you. When you make that choice on the outside of that door, you're making the choice on the inside of that door. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't put us in a position that we have to cut your head off with a no. I'm not going to succumb to that kind of influence in the house of God. Man, listen at how boisterous we are right now. Listen. You guys, y'all take a deep breath over here. Let it out. Because I'm still as convinced as a termite in a yo-yo that when we come into the house of the Lord, the holy and the righteous shall be visited by the glory and the touch and the power of God. A compromising spirit is detrimental to the altar. Keep your holy standard. Keep your commitment to God. Protest. You listen to me. You listen to me. If it's not worth protesting for, then I toss in the sword of truth. Backing the preacher here when he felt a little discouragement come on him. If this holiness and this protesting isn't right, then we're just going to have to throw divine healing down the drain. Is there anybody in the house that... You better watch out. We're going to have a holiness rally around here before this thing is over with. All it just takes is a few good folks that'll say, don't get discouraged, preacher. Pass the preaching on holiness. Don't get discouraged preaching on divine healing. If the Holy Ghost is just for a bunch of people that learns how to speak in tongues by saying Pepsi Cola, all right. But if there's a real Holy Ghost that is still holy and acceptable unto God, that can still fill the lives of a prayed-through alcoholic and a set-free drunkard and a drug addict, I'm going to stick with this! Hallelujah! Made in Japan. Listen, I tell you, I am... Let me hand this to somebody that... If you don't like my message, talk to him. I am running for my life. I am running for my wife. I am running for your children. I am running for this fellowship. I am running for the glory of God. If anybody asks you what's the matter with me, you tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. I got heaven on my mind, and I'm running for my life. Oh! Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You folks that's on your feet right now, show them again what that sounds like. Right. If anybody asks you what's the matter with us, you tell them we're saved, sanctified. You know where he's been the last 3 minutes of this service? Standing out in the middle of the aisle. Clapping his hands together. Nodding his head up and down. And you know what I've been doing while he's been standing there? Wishing that he lived in West Plains. Woo! Now I'm hey, whatever you do, listen. I may have to buy y'all a new microphone. This one's coming apart just like his. I'm going to ask you a question right now. Had you rather see him standing on this altar, looking sanctified, holding that sword, or with a Walkman in his ear, with enough rock music that sent 20,000 people to hell if the parents just knew what the words were? Had you rather look at this boy right here and say he could be the next evangelist in years to come, that keeps the victory alive in this tabernacle? Or do you rather some basketball reject or some power team walk into the house of God half naked and lift a weight and say, that's the Holy Ghost?
Is that sword too heavy for you? Hold it up. Just hold it up.
Woo! I don't know who he belongs to, but buy him one of everything that he wants tonight after service. Hallelujah. And if you don't think it's enough money, give him a dollar. Every one of you, when you walk by him, I'm telling you, right there is the hope of victory. Right there is the hope of victory. Right there is the hope of victory for the people of God to get a hold of the power of God. Listen, you can get down if you want to. You want to, just pack your bags and my wife will find a place for you in our van. Hallelujah. Whoa! Man, we're on our feet right now. Look across this tabernacle. There's probably some people in here that's irritated that if they haven't left already, they could bite a 10-penny nail into. But we're not interested in your carpenter work. We've already got a carpenter that's took care of everything. There's some people in here tonight that's already decided, if that's the way these people are going to be, I'll not put another dollar in the offering pan. That's all right. Every field we pass, every corn stalk we look at, every cow that moves is just one of God's blessings to His holiness people if they'll live right and do right and serve Him. And so, I don't think we need compromise to have the victory. That young'un just proved it. Three men in this tabernacle reached down and picked up the sword and just proved it. I don't think we need to have a blending in to have the victory. It almost seems like to me that to just have the victory is to get all the folks that are doing right and are living right to clap their hands and shout unto the Lord with the voice of victory. Wow! 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 Hallelujah! Wow! Hallelujah! Look at that little boy. Right here, look. Look at the smile on his face. Look. He is enjoying being in the arms of His Holiness Mama. There's a shouting in the middle of the aisle. Whoa! I can't hardly take my eyes off of Him. Woo! Who needs a Ferris wheel and a tilt-a-whirl and a roller coaster when you can go to the house of the Lord where the victory of God is and put a smile of gladness and joy on everybody? I'm telling you, let's worship Him right now all over this tabernacle. Holiness preachers, worship Him that you're a holiness preacher. Holiness preachers' wives, shout that you married a holiness preacher. Churches in this building, if you've got a man that shoots straight and tells you how to live and look, you holler hallelujah. You teenagers that have holiness youth camp speakers that still tell you how to act, you holler hallelujah! So, Brother Height, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Brother Keith, Brother Thompson, would you get this altar and move it right up here against this banister? Right against this rail, just right against this rail. Right against this rail. And would you get this one and move it right up here against this rail? And then just let your conscience be your guide about the next one. Just, woo! It always happened like this in my high school on Friday, just before the big game, just before the big bash, all the classrooms would stand. They'd all join hands with one another and form a line, and everybody would ease over to the door. When the principal on the intercom would say, let the rally begin, one of the basketball players would run down the hallway and grab the hand of the one in the end classroom and jerk them out into the hallway, and down the hall they'd run. When the last one in the line passed the next room, he'd grab that room and jerk them into the hallway. It went that way all the way down the hall till you had biology students, government students, tardy students, care-for-nothing students. Someplace in there was me, and I'll let you wonder about that. You had math students. That was not me. Physical science students, photography students, Latin students, out into the hallway. Down there we had come like one great big serpentine snake until we came into the gymnasium. In the gymnasium would stand the band. When they'd come through the door, we'd start playing, man, the home team song. The basketball players would come to, are you listening to me? That was called a pep rally. Because that night we were fixing to face sometimes the best team in the area. And they wanted all the team spirit that they could possibly muster up. They just thought that they invented that. My God, they hadn't read my text. Woo! That's been a characteristic of the church, the saints of God, ever since there was a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Except he said, you clap your hands, all ye people, and you shout unto the Lord. You shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. You shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Woo! Yeah! Woo! In pursuit of the victory! Sunday school classes, come this direction with your hands up. Deacons and song leaders, woo! We're gonna rally around the word, around the cross. Woo! Hey! I'm telling you, if you ain't got the victory, come down here with your hands up! Here comes the teenagers. Here comes the youth. Here comes the next generation. Here comes a new spirit of energy. Daddy, if your boy's down here, I'd come and join him if I've never moved out of a pew in my life. Mama, if my daughter's down here, I'd get out of that suit if the devil had a heart attack. Church member, one time in my life, I'd come out of a pew saying I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Is this how we're ending the service? This is how we're ending the service. But this ain't how we're stopping the camp meeting. This is the first night of a brand new year for these area churches to have the victory when they come into the house of the Lord. Somebody find your pastor. Reach over there and lay your hand on his shoulder and tell him, hold the sword, boy. I believe in it. Quick! Somebody find your pastor. Lay a hand on his shoulder. If there's a visiting preacher in the house, and you know that he is, you become a member. Reach over and lay your hand on his shoulder. Somebody touch Brother Grace. Somebody lay their hand on Brother Burdine. Woo! Ladies, find your pastor's wife. Lay your hand on her shoulder. One of y'all find my wife. That there she is. Some of you young folks, lay your hand on Sister Hyde's shoulder. Hallelujah! Woo! We're going to rally around holiness. We're going to rally around the cross. Woo! If holiness is right, shout hallelujah. If sanctification is right, shout hallelujah. There ain't a devil in hell that can take victory out of the church. The more convinced I get that it's all in Jesus. My sweet Jesus. All in Jesus. Give him the praise. Entertain meeting. It's all in Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Woo! Oh, and while we're praying around the front, there could be people committing their life. There could be people saying, I've wandered away, and I'm going to get back.